On this week's show, John Fluke of Silver Dollar Games punches our faces to death with the fastest brawler ever created, One Finger Death Punch 2. Out now on Steam and coming soon to a Switch near you. Nintendo reminds us that too much of a good thing is, well, it's bad. Because who needs classic games every month, am I right? But hey, at least we're getting Virtual Boy 2.0. And finally, the Hype Zone lights up our life. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 116. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 116 for the week of September 16th, 2019, sponsored by MeltedPins.com. I am one of your hosts who's having one hell of an evening right now. This has been a clusterfuck of the last 9 minutes trying to set this show up, but I am Steven Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, and who somehow puts up with this every week, it is Andy. Hello, Andy. How are you, Andy Asimakis?
We have back-to-back Johns. John this week, John last week. It's just, you know, a series of Johns on the show. That's how I like it.
John. Yeah, just like this show. The show belongs in a John. And yes, with us, like, as I mentioned, as Andy has mentioned, we have John with us. How you doing, John?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh man, we're very excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on the show. First of all, very excited to hear that this game is coming to the Switch because I had an absolute blast with it on Steam a few months ago. We played it. It was actually one of our first community. What was it, Andy? Was it the first Tuesday or were? I forget what it was. It might have been. It was one of our first outside of the ordinary shows that we did on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, and we loved it, and we had such a great time, so we're really happy to see that this game is coming to the Switch. But before we get into talking about all that, let's tell people what the hell they're listening to and what John got himself into. For those of you that are new here to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, this is a show, an interview show, where Andy and I go bring on an industry guest to talk the indies and Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify and YouTube. And of course, you could also listen on dualscreens.com. Please, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, consider leaving us a review. It helps get the show in front of more eye and ear holes. Very important. Very important. You can also support us on Patreon, going to patreon.com/NDSPodcast, just like our Patreon producer, the demigod himself, Alex Gonzalez. Alex, thank you so much. We can't continue to grow without you and the rest of our patrons' support. And remember, for as little as $1, you get access to our super secret VIP Discord channel, and you get one bonus episode every month exclusive to Patreon supporters, and you get to vote the topic of which that show is all about. So remember, that's patreon.com/NDSPodcast. Andy, I'm feeling it today. How are you?
You know, I had a long day. I just want to talk about some games.
Video games. That's what I want to talk about. All right, so let's just dive right in here. Before we get into the lead story, before we get into the Nintendo News Report, it is time to get into everybody's favorite segment and Andy's favorite part of the show. It's the Nindies of the Week! That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Nindies of the Week. Andy, Sydney Hunter. I mean...
Yeah, I'm playing that too.
Oh boy.
But I'm also playing another game that's got a lot of...
Expound.
Blasphemous.
I've heard things.
So, so good.
Is it the Dark Souls of Dark Souls 8-bit games?
It's the 8-bit Dark Souls of the Dark Souls, Dark Souls, Dark Souls.
Right, sure. John, you following this bouncing ball here?
A little bit, yeah.
My internet crapped out. I gotta leave.
Goodbye.
No.
So tell us a little bit. Give us the elevator pitch on Blasphemous.
Well, if you like difficult games, and if you like amazing, amazing pixel art, then this is the game for you. It's a platformer, yes, but it's hard as hell. And I played it for about an hour or so. I reached snapping my Switch in half levels of frustration with it.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm surprised I survived after I just finished playing Creature in the Well today. I beat it finally after I almost broke my Switch on the train ride home from work. With a sliver of battery life left, I beat that game. Sure. I went, fuck yeah! On a crowded New York City subway. And no one blinked, so you know it's normal for New York City.
Yeah.
During rush
absolutely.
Hour. But yeah, anyway, absolutely. Blasphemous, great game. Highly recommended.
Highly recommend highly. Getting the is that getting the Nintendo Dual Screen seal of approval?
Fuck yeah,
the
it
Nintendo
is.
Dual Screens podcast. Yeah, all right, cool. John, what have you been playing lately? You got playing any fun indies or nindies?
Nindies, eh? Oh boy. No, the only game that I play on my Nintendo Switch right now, which I don't know what else in the world plays, is Arena of Valor.
Expound.
Yes, please.
That's the what's the original name? Honor of something. It's that really large mobile phone game. It's a MOBA in China. And then they made the American version, Arena of Valor. You can find it on mobile device. Anyways, they made a specific version for the Switch that's different from the mobile device, but a little bit close as well. Anyways, it's just a weird thing to play on there. I don't know if anyone else is, but I love it.
This is
actually,
interesting.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it now.
The composer is Hans Zimmer? What the hell?
that company's gigantic, so I that doesn't surprise me. I'm also playing games like when Smite first came out on the Xbox many years ago, I played it because it was like, oh, cool, a MOBA on the Xbox. I mean, think about that. There's really not that many. And then when Smite came out on the Switch, I started playing that again. That was only a few months ago. So I'm enjoying both those MOBAs, which is the weirdest thing to play on there because I know no one else does that.
So what you're saying then is you're a huge fucking nerd. You MOBA nerd.
MOBA actually, nerd. I would say it's a bit of the opposite because what I don't like in a MOBA is the variety of buttons and all these complicated systems, and when you bring it to a console, you have to make that simpler, and then it becomes just more of a fun action game, and that's why I like it on a console. In fact, that,
so you're not a huge fucking nerd, then you're just like a small,
it's a quasi,
medium-sized nerd. I'm not sure. I guess I could be the largest nerd in the world, but I do like my games to the point and simple controls.
Awesome.
That's interesting.
So,
okay.
So I, as I mentioned, playing Sydney Hunter. I actually recorded the first play this evening, which I may have to re-record because there were audio issues. But that's neither here nor there. Game's fantastic. I love it. You'll love it. Go buy it. Play it. It's great. All right. So that's what we're playing currently. But what could we be playing, Andy? Because we have a bunch of these coming soon.
God,
shenanigans.
I'm just so broke from last week. I don't know what else I can be buying.
Link
coming out this week.
Yeah. this whole month has been a disaster as far as money goes. it's been a problem.
It's fine.
All right, so this is starting on the 16th. We have Akash, Path of the Five. No idea what that is. Real Fishing Road Trip Adventure.
Game of the year
Hell yeah. And Andy, here it is. Out of left field, Castle Crashers Remastered. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Castle Crashers is back.
You gotta get those guys on the show. That'd be fun. Yeah,
that's a fun-ass game.
It took you so long.
Lego Jurassic World is coming out on the 17th.
They still make those games?
AI and or Al. I don't know if it's an L or an I. AI, the Somnium Files. That is a full title. That is $60. Jet Cave Adventure, Police Stories. That looks a lot like what was that game that we played? with the where we play the two cops and we kick in doors and start shooting everybody.
Oh,
I forget the name of it, but that's what that Riot cover looks like.
There was an R word.
No, yeah, it was something like that. Rico.
Rico, that's what it was.
Grid Autosport is coming out on the 19th as well. Inferno 2. Puzzle Quest The Legend Returns is making its debut on the Nintendo Switch. Devil May Cry 2 is coming out.
No one asked
that.
No one asked
nobody,
for that game.
Not one person.
Not even 20 years ago. No one asked for that game.
That's coming out on the 19th. Also on the 19th is Lost Castle. I am providing a review for that on dualscreens.com. Currently in my Switch right now as we speak. I will not tell you anything about it. And that's how I feel about that. Overland is coming on the 19th as well. Sayonara Wild Hearts, which is fantastic, Andy. Remember, we spoke about this after PAX. They had this was the Annapurna booth, and it's a really cool rhythm rock like visual game. It's hard to explain, but it's absolutely gorgeous. The music is fantastic, and you should all pay attention to it. Spellworm is coming as well. Niflheim, which Nintendo Dual Screen's contributing editor Thorn Stone is reviewing for us. And
I thought he was dead. He's still alive.
Oh, he's still alive. Oh, yeah.
That's great.
He was waiting. He was waiting for an assignment. Island Maze, Zelda, The Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening, comes out on the 20th. But that's not the only massive, adorable game. Also, Ni No Kuni: Wrath of the White Witch is coming on the 20th.
Oh,
that's just being sent to its death.
Yeah,
that game is fantastic.
Great game, but again, there's too many games to play. I'm not playing the old games anymore.
Heard that.
Play Final Fantasy.
Heard that.
In a row.
Tid War? T-Y-D? No, Tid Wag? Ver Nymond? All right, you're going to need to translate that title before you put it on Nintendo Switch, right? All right, guys? Zenith is coming and rounds out the week. So there you go. Zenith looks interesting. I'm going to click that one.
Some good things. Some not so good things.
Some good things. Well, we can't really judge some of these things because we don't know them. We just got to make sure people understand that. 11. I have to put my age in order to look at this game. So I want to look at it. I mean, this is what we're here for. You know, we're here to inform our people. It's not even loading. The screen is not loading. Why does Nintendo hate me? Okay, there we go. What do we got here? Okay, it's a little action RPG. Looks like it belongs on PSP. All right, so maybe that's a pass. We'll see. All right, those are the releases of the week, and now we're gonna get John's gonna actually do something this episode. Jeez, just standing there, big old, talking about his MOBAs.
Thinking about MOBAs in the background.
If there's one thing John wants to do right now, it's give me a one finger death punch, right to the chest. John, it is as I said before, it's an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for joining us. One Finger Death Punch is probably one of the coolest concepts I've ever really come across. What I like to describe it as, it's almost like a Guitar Hero action game, kind of, if that makes any sense. So for those of us who don't know what that is, and if that description is awful, what's the elevator pitch for One Finger Death Punch 2?
Elevator pitch, that's a tough one. I guess just I probably said the world's fastest brawler that you play with only two buttons, or maybe you could reword to say the first on rail fighter that you play with only two buttons.
Yeah, it's very unique. So the mechanics are simple. You're in the center of the screen. You have waves of enemies coming from either the left or the right, and then there's kind of like this little bar on the bottom that has prompts, and you're supposed to do certain button prompts and actions in order to defeat the enemies that are coming close to you, and essentially right before they touch you. It kind of like how the old Kung Fu on Nintendo and in the arcade game. Kind of like how that was, like right before they got to you, you had to like hit them, but they would just like relentlessly run at you and stuff like that. So where did you, first of all, what was your role in developing this? Are you like a solo dev? Did you have a team?
Yeah, it's my brother and I, and that's our team. For this,
Oh,
we
that's
hired
awesome.
a handful of freelance artists, but they did, very small little projects here and there.
Sure.
So there's like 20 of them involved, but when you combine them all, it would probably equal one dude part-time for a few months. Really, well, half a year, maybe part-time. That's how small those little projects were. Anyways, so it looks like we have a long list of credits, but we really don't. It's just the two of us.
So, how did you two come together and start making games?
Well, my brother decided to, I don't know, give XNA, which is this programming language that Microsoft made like 15 years ago. It works with C Sharp, and it's supposed to be it's just easier to make games instead of having to do every little thing like zooming in sprites and all this stuff. They have tools to make that easier. Anyways, XNA happened to be a programming language that Microsoft was supporting, so then you could make XNA. We could do Xbox Live Arcade games with it. And actually, the
Interesting.
Xbox Live indie games, that no one knows what that was, but it was different than Xbox Live Arcade. And that was for Xbox 360. Anyways, that was just XNA. So we said, okay, we know what we're doing with this. My brother kind of learned a little bit of it, and we started making Xbox Live indie games. And One for Your Deathmatch was probably one of our last Xbox Live indie games before they kind of shut down the service. Well, not shut down, but they were easing into shutting it down.
Right.
So yeah, that
So,
was
what games did you make before that?
a whole bunch of small little games, like 60-ish little things of all weird experimental stuff. To this is the weirdest stuff you could think of.
Well, that reminds me, like, I'm not an Xbox guy, but I did have a 360, but I wasn't, like, ingrained in that system for very long. But the PSP had those PSN games. What were those called, Andy? It was like it was also on PS3, but it was like a special little section for these, what people called downloadable games, like downloadable indie games. It
Oh
was before,
yeah.
remember? It was before games like Bastion and all them kind of came around to like blow it out of the water and say, no, these games could be bigger and better and more money and things like that. But they were like $1, $2, $3.99, $4.99, like. That was what was the downloadable games like Jetpack Joyride. I want to say like the first one was one of those games on there.
Oh, yeah, some mobile ports. Yeah,
Yeah,
you can
yeah,
call
like
that.
mobile game. Yeah, like stuff like that. So was that kind of the vibe you were going for? Just these shorter, like little bite-sized experiences for like $1, $2? Is that kind
Yeah,
of
it's
what you were
interesting
going for?
you mentioned that. I didn't know they had that service. I would probably say most of the games that were on Xbox Live indie games were probably five times smaller than the smallest games on that service.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So yeah, these games aren't going to make any money. You're just doing it for a passion. There's no porting or anything like that. It's just to experiment. Some games, it's a handful of people did make some money, but very, very
Sure.
few.
Did you
So
guys
let
make some money?
yeah, did you get, I mean, you're saying it wasn't about the money, but like I have to imagine like when you're pumping out games like that, regardless of how big of scale they are, the experience alone and name recognition and being able to go to, say a publisher and say, oh no, we see projects like seeing a project all the way through has value regardless of how large the project is, no?
Yeah, that's funny because that's exactly how we kind of started it. Because it was the process of finishing it all that got us to just make more games. A lot of people on that service only did a couple games because that process of completing something is so difficult.
Right.
And you did it 60 times.
Well, really, we made like five games that were kind of cool, and then like a bunch of little things that don't even count. Some stuff that only took a few days, and it was just a joke.
Put this ball in this hole. Congrats, you did
Well,
it.
if you
Buyback time.
Google No Luca No, you'll see a couple videos with a few million views making fun of the game because it's just a cat
Oh, is
trying
that
to
with the
get
cat? You
your
gotta push
milk.
the cat away?
Anyways,
Oh
we did
my
that in like a
God,
day,
yes.
but it's
There's like a
that
mouse,
kind of
yeah,
stuff.
there's like a mouse cursor.
Yeah.
And then
Yeah,
there's a,
yeah.
oh my God, I remember
Yeah.
this game.
Yeah, well, that was one of our games. So that's what I'm talking about. Those really didn't count. We actually probably only made like five games that
Right,
were of any significance.
I'm getting a little bit emotional because Luca in this video looks exactly like my cat that just passed away a couple weeks ago. and I might need to get this game. This is,
well, it doesn't exist anymore, so
it's just there. I gotta find it. It has to be found. It has to be found.
Well, fortunately, actually, all the Xbox, you know what's weird? Remember when Xbox One was first announced, they were saying something about a game has to have online connectivity. And everyone freaked out. Well, you know, it's crazy, but you talk about that because games like World of Warcraft and pretty much every game I've ever played needs to have online connectivity. But anyways, we'll put that aside. When we talk about the Switch, there's only a handful of games I can play on the subway because all the games I love need online connectivity, especially, you know, the things I was talking about with MOBA. But all that aside, Xbox Live indie games always had that, and that was for the 360. It had to check in on their servers. Well, their servers have been shut down for years, so those games are actually essentially gone forever.
Well,
that's heartbreaking.
Andy, let's not put the cart before the horse here, because there are things we can do here. There's the thing, I don't know if you've heard it. It's called Kickstarter. Now, I am positive. You're putting One Finger Death Punch 2 on the Switch, okay? That's happening. You're doing it already. That means you have dev kits already. So we're not looking for... We're assuming the hard work is already done here. I think we kickstart with like a $5,000 goal, if not less, and I guarantee you get it. No Luca, no Nintendo Switch Edition.
Well, the Nintendo people wouldn't want that. That's for sure. I could tell you that right now.
Just put it up for free.
Listen, yeah, I don't know if they want that either.
It'll be a fully touchscreen compatible game. Shoot the cat.
Touchscreen, and you could do point and click. You could use the AR sensor to point and swat the cat away. You could use the gyroscope to like nudge the Switch to the side or the Pro Controller.
You could do DLC, different kinds of cereal. You could do a Kellogg.
Look at these. Look at the amount.
Get some brand.
Look at the amount of videos that are online right now about this game, like.
I'm seeing these like rage quit videos from Rooster Teeth.
Rooster Teeth. You got Giant Bomb. You got like, this is a cult classic at this point. This is reaching. If Night Trap could be on the Nintendo Switch, there's no reason why Luca No can't be on the Nintendo Switch. But anyway, let's get back to One Finger Death Punch 2. So, what brought you to make the sequel? Why did you go make a number 2 to One Finger Death Punch? Let's just get back to the conversation with an easy question.
Yeah, before the game was released on Steam, it was on Desura, which is a platform for the very smallest of games 10 years ago. And anyways, that platform actually went under, and it's gone now. But a team from South Korea found the game on there and said this would be perfect for mobile, and they tried to make a mobile version. We actually warned them because it's made in XNA, there was all kinds of problems, and it was going to be a bit of a disaster, but they worked really hard, and ultimately, I don't think we got the product that they wanted. And then we released on Steam, and we got very lucky there, thanks to YouTubers and things. It was complete luck, really. But anyway, so now we have a little bit of money. Let's try and make another game, as opposed to just, I don't know what we would have done without that. And seeing the mobile game go in that direction, we said, oh, maybe we can do it differently. Maybe we can do this right using Unity. And that, you know, remember I was saying how XNA, its time in the sun was gone. They were no longer supporting that. So we had to move to something else. We're like, oh, Unity, wouldn't that be fun? Okay, let's try. In hindsight, we probably shouldn't have. But, you know, we didn't know that at the time.
What would you have done otherwise?
Oh, some other game. A sequel's probably a bad idea.
You don't mean Unity. You mean doing the
Unity
sequel in general.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, okay. Unity's proving itself more fantastic as time goes on than I can imagine. Seeing games like the capabilities, like games like Hearthstone is made on Unity. I'm like, oof, man, I can see why, because you can just put it on every platform without like a snap. And there's this new mobile game, Call of Duty Mobile, and it's like, I'm like, this is really good. This is like Call of Duty, what? And that was made on with Unity, and it's very good. I feel like One Finger Death Punch 2, if someone wants it in the future, we could work with Unity to make it happen. Whereas the old game, One Finger Death Punch 1, is dead. there's no getting that. There's no way we can work with that anymore, you know? So it kind of sucks to have worked with a platform that has no future. And that's why we're excited to have done it with Unity.
I want to tell you that I was actually really surprised when I played One Finger Death Punch 2. The quality is really, really high on this. For a simple game made by a couple of bros with some contractors thrown in here and there, I got to say, it's got a high production value. Can you walk us through the process of getting it to that point? Like, what was that? Was your goal to make this polished, refined game, or stepping away from the quick hit kind of thing that you've been used to doing? Was that like a goal of yours, or did it kind of just, hey, this is getting pretty good, let's just keep piling it onto it while we're here?
Yeah, we knew we had to step it up. It's basically, you know, kind of built out of fear. If we were going to deliver a product that wasn't pretty enough, we knew we were going to be sunk. We didn't want to have an art style that was, you know, Fancy Pants Adventure. It's this little running game, and you have this stick man, and he's running, and the world around him is also in a stick man animation. And it's simple, but it works, and it works very well. But we didn't want to have a simple art style. We knew that some games get away with it, but they're lucky, man. Not every game gets as lucky as that.
Right.
Sometimes people look at it and go, what is this? In fact, if you dig in to the comments and what people say, you'll see a lot of people going, what's this mobile game doing on Steam? You know, why is this here? And a lot of people saying, wow, I'm surprised it's good, because I didn't think I would like it because it looks so simple. Or, you know, a lot of people are judging the book by its cover. And
right.
We got so lucky the first time around because the game just didn't look that good. And ultimately, I think we failed probably for the most part when you see videos, Nintendo Switch trailer that we have. There's a lot of praise, which is cool. It's like, yeah, great. But there's a lot of people that are just like, why is Nintendo letting this mobile game on here? It's funny enough, the game's not on mobile, but they see it that
interesting.
Way. Because you see
right.
Stickmen, and Stickmen are basic. And oh, man, if I could make those Stickmen look like Street Fighter 10, which I won't come out till 2050, I would do it. Yeah, but I have no money. So we kind of did whatever we could to make it work. But this is the extent of our limits.
You know, that's interesting because when I looked at it as I didn't look at it as simple. I looked because you have a lot of shit going on there. It's not, I wouldn't say it's simple. It's just, it's stylized. If you look at West of Loathing uses stick figures and stick towns, and everything is just made on a white sheet of paper with black, you know, it looks like it's made in MS Paint, but,
yeah.
and there's no fancy animations. You guys went kind of the extra mile, like the physics of it, the actual, the animations of the fighting, of all the attacks. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's not, I never looked at it and said, oh, this looks too simple, or this looks like a mobile game. In the stills, like just the images of it, yes, it does look like something that, you know, I would just play for a quick stops on the train, swipe left, swipe right, whatever. Yeah, for sure. But once you get it in your hands and you see it moving and see how fast it is and frantic and the sound and just all the weapons, you know what it is? You should put like emo black mop-like hair on the character and just call it John Wick.
And yeah, some people have asked for that.
It would look perfect. It fits perfect. It's like a John Wick movie. That's how each level feels.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't show very well in screenshots, and a little bit in video as well, especially if the video isn't running at 60 frames per second.
Sure.
But it's funny you mentioned West of Loathing, because it's exactly what I was talking about. You know, some games can get away with that kind of art style, and yay, you know, all the power to them. But there's so many that you don't even know about that have failed, that just didn't work because they weren't pretty enough.
Right.
We don't
that
see them, but
cry.
There's... Yeah, well, there's like 60 a day on Steam, and maybe
I know.
So,
yeah, it's actual people putting their work into something, and it's like, because we try to get a lot of different developers on this podcast, and they talk about their struggles a lot with getting visibility on their games and their projects, and to think that there's so many more that are out there that we are even aware of. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, probably a few too many.
So talk to us about your Steam release for the second game for One Finger Death Punch.
Huge response, by the way, like so positive.
It seems that way, but unfortunately, we're trying to dig ourselves out of this situation because looking at the numbers, even 4 days after it was released, we knew it's going to sell maybe 12 times less than the original. And now the number is probably eight times less. And he spent 5 years.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I was going to ask you, like, what was the dev time? But you took 5 years. This is a 5 year project.
Yeah, we could have done it in 3.5 if we knew Unity very well. Mm-hmm. But still, oh boy. So now we're in trouble because, you know, even if, oh man, let's say you have like a minimum wage job and you're making like 30 grand a year. It's two people, 30 grand a year times five. You got to make that kind of money just to say, it's almost not possible.
Right.
Boy, are we in trouble.
Well,
was it full time for both you and your brother working on the sequel?
It was, yeah. And we were kind of making ends meet on Xbox Live Indie Games before that. It was, you know, very tough, but wow. So now the game is kind of done on Steam and there's no income. And we're kind of just praying that Nintendo Switch gives some kind of hope. I don't know how it could, though.
Nintendo Switch has done it before.
Has it, though? I wonder. Someone said that to me. But I wonder what games didn't sell well on Steam that did sell well on the Switch.
Blossom Tale.
It didn't sell well on Steam, but it sold well.
They nearly were bankrupt before it came on the Switch.
Yeah, they almost went bankrupt, and they went on the Switch, and in I think it was 3 days on Switch, it broke even.
Okay, well, there you go. There's an example. Even. Okay, well, I didn't know that, so that's exciting then.
Yes, and you know what? For two things. Number one, we wouldn't have you on the show if we didn't believe in your product. That's number one. That's just truth. Like, we've had games that not everybody likes, and we've had those people on our show, and that they maybe have a niche audience, and it actually brought us show-long listeners since then, because of the respect that we do give these niche titles. And yes, your game might be a niche title, it might not be, you know, for everyone, but I'm telling you right now, people who like action games and like rhythm games and like stylized video games, they're going to see this thing in action and they're going to want to play it. And it's one of those games that you have to play to really understand it. And you can look at it, when Andy, and correct me if I'm wrong on the timeline of this, I was looking for something new to stream because I wanted to showcase something new once a week. Like, I play Apex Legends, I'll play, you know, whatever, all these other games, but I wanted to play, like, smaller titles, get people in, hype the game up, you know, get an audience, whatever, and talk about, you know, the game. And he actually said, hey, I have a code for One Finger Death Punch 2, or whatever it was, or you should try it, I think you'd like it, or whatever. And I remember looking at it and being like, okay, that could be a good, like, 20, you know, whatever minutes. And I wound up playing it for, like, an hour and a half. Just going through, it was a blast to play. But, yeah, I think that once the word starts getting around, and the Nintendo Switch is a great place for these smaller titles that are stylized and have a niche audience, because the damn thing is selling, a million a month or whatever it is. Like, it's...
And I feel like a game like this that's... to be played in short bursts works better on a platform like the Switch because it's portable. You can take it, you know, on the subway to work or while you're in the bathroom for like 5-10 minutes or on your lunch break. Just having it at the ready for like a good 10-20 minute distraction during the day, I feel that this game is meant for the Switch, given the gameplay style of it.
I completely agree. So you and your bro, just the two of you. First of all, who's older?
My brother's older.
Okay, your brother's older. So he's driving the ship.
I know that game.
Yeah. Well, he does all the programming, so he definitely is dedicated to this cause here.
So what's your role? What's your role in everything? You're designer and
yeah, I would say designer or producer, more like it.
So you have you essentially have all your eggs in this Switch basket.
Yeah, and Xbox, and we hope to do the PlayStation later. Not that your audience cares about that, but
you'd be
yeah.
surprised. You'd be surprised. I mean, we talk about all sorts of stuff on the show. And
yeah, if there was a Venn diagram, you'd see some PS4 owners in there. Yeah.
Yes, and we do have the website that covers all indies and stuff like that. So, and the YouTube channel and whatnot. But so all your eggs are in the Switch basket. What I'm trying to put myself in your mindset of leading up to a Switch release or even making the decision. That's the question. You see how it did on Steam, right? And you're obviously dejected. You're not thrilled with everything. Was that a motivating factor to put it on console, or was putting it on console actually something that you were hesitant to do because of the Steam reception?
Oh, no. We always had plans to get on console. In fact, we got approved to be on the console before all three, before Steam, before our release on Steam. So we were working a little bit on it beforehand. A lot of the work had to be done after the release, just because it's hard to work on an unfinished sure. product in different stages. Kind of a nightmare to do that. But we always had plans. And actually, that's the glory of Unity, is that you can make a game for 5 years, but instead of just releasing it on Steam and going, well, that's it. I guess we'll find some other job and get my resume together. Because Unity has that capability, I think it's easier to put the game onto other platforms. And that's why we're going to put it on the Xbox and Switch and PlayStation, also because they allowed us to. Unity, without that, we wouldn't be able to do any of this.
What's your...
It? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Andy. No, I've been driving this thing.
A
you
little
can take
bit,
it over.
A little too much, yeah.
Go ahead.
And I wanted to ask John, what was it like seeing your game in the Indie World Showcase? Because you're among, like, some pretty heavy hitters at the end
of
the world.
Oh, yeah.
We're
I'm
in the
just,
Blind Forest and
in,
Supermod.
In,
and here's our game, like,
just
hanging
though.
Out.
Yeah. No, I'm just in the back of it, though. Like, you know how they have, like, look at this game, check this game
like
out. And
the,
then they have,
the
like, here's a bunch of other games. And they did kind of the, but, you know, it's very nice that they put us in there. We really appreciate that. And it was cool to read the comments. And there was a handful of people. I will say that said, the only thing I'm looking forward to is what game was it? Something and One Finger Death Punch. Oh, it was Superhot. A bunch of people were saying stuff like that. And I thought, oh, well, that's pretty cool.
There Very similar games, too, in kind of like the way you're, you know, just momentum and carrying all that.
Were you
cool.
aware
yeah,
of that
totally.
Coverage or you were caught off guard like when you saw the trailer?
No, we... Ted, you know, gave us some time to put everything together. We had to, we had to put a video and get our store page and everything else like
okay.
that. So, awesome. Yeah, it was very, very nice of them to do that. And in fact, I guess they talked to their indie people because you know, they've been in contact with us, and it's very nice to see that there's a person on the other end. Xbox has been very cool that way too. We haven't too much communication with Sony. Maybe that's just our own fault. I'm sure they're great too. We just haven't gotten around to it. We're hoping to release on Switch and Xbox at the same time this winter, and PlayStation will come after that.
See, we've heard varying things on that. We've heard, like, with Nintendo, it can be just there's no human face or a real name.
I know.
Speak
you know
with.
What? Then maybe that makes me think that we're lucky. yeah, because the indie guy there has been great. And we've seen him at a couple shows, and he's seen our game, and it's been a fantastic experience so far.
Awesome sauce. So you don't have a specific date right now as when that's coming out?
No,
but...
I know the video. You know, it's crazy. It said, I think by accident.
There was a
December
date. 2nd. December 2nd, I think?
But no,
yeah.
It certainly isn't December 2nd. We tried to put in a date, like, almost when the last date we think we could get it in December, December 16th. But then the guy said, oh, you can just put December if you want. And that's it. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that the forums and all that worked that way. It didn't appear to be. So anyway, he changed that for us. So it's supposed to say just December. The real problem is this. It has to go through certification. And Microsoft says I need to release at the same time on Microsoft that I do other consoles. I can't let Microsoft be last. And I know some games can get around that, I guess. Maybe they talk to them. I don't know. But that's their policy. So I have to do Microsoft and Nintendo at the same time. And I don't know if I'm going to get the game certified on either of those two platforms. And you just kind of submit to their certification process, and they check a list of things. And it's a lengthy, complicated list. And frankly, I don't think we have it all done. I don't even know for 100% sure. We see the list, but some stuff is super complicated. Like, what happens when I stop the game midway to go to the dashboard and is trying to save? And what happens when I do that in every single state of every single part of the game ever? What happens when the battery dies and every single, all these little weird things?
Oh my God.
And these account changing things, those account changing things and how you manage controllers, I think on all consoles, it's just the nature of consoles. It's very complicated. It certainly isn't done very easily. So we're worried that if we submit, it might fail, and that could take weeks. I don't know. Maybe. And if we resubmit, it might fail again, but maybe we're getting closer. And maybe we resubmit the third time or something, and it's like, oops, there's no time. There's no way we can get it out, you know? And we have to get lucky on both consoles. So I wish the certification process was a little bit easier, just in consoles in general.
Dear Microsoft and Nintendo, we made a game with stick figures. Stop with the fucking questions. You're friends.
Well, I think the issue there is, like, you can be totally fine on the Switch, but then you have to wait, and you can't release because of Microsoft's terms. You have to wait.
Yeah, unless all good on their end. Maybe we get approved there first. It's funny. It goes back and forth to our worries. We think, oh, Nintendo's going to be easier. Okay, cool. Nintendo's going to be harder. You know, it's crazy. But we did release a game for Xbox Live Arcade, and that's, you know, the service of Castle Crashers and Braid and all the good games, you know. You won't know the our game. It's called Blazing Birds. Again, it's gone now because that was Xbox
Live Arcade years ago.
But that had to go through the proper certification process of Xbox, and that was back then. But it was a complicated, difficult process that took time. They're very helpful and they work through it, but it's that time we just don't know. So it's so weird to have to make a release date without having your game totally finished and not knowing if you're going to make that release date because of certification process. So I really hope it all works out, but I know that everyone works really hard to help us, and it's been a great process so far working with both those companies. So I'm excited to see it all finish.
So are we. So folks, keep your ears to the Nintendo eShop, and if you're on Xbox, to the Xbox Live whatever store, I don't know what they call it over there, but keep your ears and eyes open
<store. laughs>
in December. So there you go. All right, so it is time now to get into the Nintendo News Report. We have four items, as usual, that we handpicked just for you. And this first story is quite interesting. And it was an interesting little title that was announced that it's coming to the Switch. And it's a Zelda-like adventure, and by Zelda, and we don't mean 2D. This is more like a 3D Zelda-like adventure. Curve Digital reveals A Knight's Quest. It's a Zelda-like adventure coming to the Nintendo Switch. Andy, this game looks pretty cool, huh?
Remember Maximo for PS2?
Yep.
I'm getting, like, severe Maximo vibes from this game.
That game kind of sucked.
What, Maximo? Are you kidding me?
Maximo kind of sucked.
No, it did not kind of suck. It was kind of awesome.
The camera kind of sucked. I vividly remember that game sucking.
Good, sir. No. I think you suck.
John. Who sucks here? Me or Maximo?
Well, I'm looking at the game now, and it looks really cool.
Yeah. See, he's very good at deflecting the question. Yeah, no, this Knight's Quest, no, it looks really cool. I mean, we got some grind rails, you know, you got your different elements or weapons, and it definitely looks like a 3D Zelda game. And you know, I'm always down for some of that.
Who isn't down for some of that, Steven?
Who isn't down for some of that? Now, if you like conjunctivitis, boy, do we have a story for you. there is a patent filed for the new Nintendo Switch VR headset, Andy.
What's wrong with Nintendo? Do they not like people's arms to be in a nice rested state? It's like just watching this thing makes my arms hurt.
I really honestly don't understand. And folks, if you want to know what this is all about, go to NintendoLife.com and just look for like Nintendo Switch VR or whatever. It's essentially a plastic version of the Labo VR kit, which you have to hold up to your face. It looks like one of those Disney viewfinder shits. but I feel like this is a missed opportunity, Andy. Why aren't they marketing this as a Virtual Boy 2? Like, just make it look like the old Virtual Boy, a little smaller, obviously, that you could slide a Switch in, and then you just have a little kickstand so that you could play with the Joy-Con in your hands, for God's sakes. This looks ridiculous, Andy.
I want to hold it to my face. I want to lie down in bed with my Switch on my face.
You look like you're using a Periscope, Andy. It's terrible.
Now the question is, does it at least strap to your face? I don't think so, which is weird.
No, it doesn't. I'm going to send the message so that John can follow and bounce the ball here.
Yeah, it doesn't. Oh, interesting.
Why would anybody want to hold that to their face?
To play subpar VR games.
Yeah, that's crazy. VR. Are you sure that's what is going on here?
Is anybody, John? Is anybody sure that about what's going on here?
That there's a branding on this that says "Let's go digital."
Yeah.
What are they trying to tell us there? Is there a Pokemon Let's Go VR game in the making? I cracked the code. I cracked
it. Did it?
Yeah, but I wonder if they're going to create one that does strap around your head. Properly,
but
they would have to, though.
Just like we've done with our phones, kind of thing.
But let me ask you this. But hold on, let me ask you this: the gyroscope nature of the VR is tied into the Joy-Con, is it not?
Oh, brutal, eh?
Like you moving your head around wouldn't work without the Joy-Con attached to it.
Or is it though? I don't know if it is.
I think it is. I don't think the actual tablet has. Does the actual tablet have gyroscope inside? I don't know.
Try aiming Breath of the Wild with your Switch in your hands. I don't think it works.
Right. You could use a Pro Controller that has a gyroscope. So maybe if you use sets of Joy-Con, a VR thing might work.
I don't think the Switch has like gyroscope in it. I think it's all on the Joy-Con.
I don't think it does either.
So this would have to be attached to your face then.
So no,
your hands would have to be up at your face.
You're
just
moving your hands along with your head, essentially, while you're playing these games.
I think it does have a gyroscope.
I mean, you know what game would be perfect for this? Pokemon Snap. Pokemon Snap 2, your hands are up at your face like a camera anyway, and you just look around and take pictures of Pokemon and then walk into walls because you're an idiot. All right.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
The next story here is Nintendo is ditching monthly release schedule for the NES and SNES games on the Switch.
What
this
the
is coming
hell?
From Eurogamer. I know.
What the hell is this news?
So you know,
they did a good thing. They gave us the SNES library on the Switch. They gave us 20 games. Everyone loved it. And they were like, oh yeah, so that monthly structure that we did with the Nintendo, it's going to stop now. So it's when we feel like it. We'll give you guys games.
Well, the actual quote is, those releases will not adhere to a regular schedule.
Right. So when they feel like it, basically.
I mean...
Oh, okay. But you're still going to get new games, though.
Yeah, but who knows when?
Yeah.
Okay, but in theory, you can get more new games, potentially.
Yes. So here's what I'm thinking.
Way
I'm
too
thinking,
optimistic there, John.
What I'm thinking, and I said this last week, is maybe they'll put them out in batches, like 20 games to start and then 10 games every few months, you know, whatever, to like overload it, maybe like 5 NES games, 5 SNES games every other month or something like that. I don't know. Well,
hopefully
they don't abandon it. they yes, you need to have a Nintendo Online subscription, which is $20 a year. But yes, all the games are free.
I see.
Would you prefer, Steven, on PSN Plus getting 2 games every month or 12 games in December?
I don't know. My backlog is fucked as it is. So I don't really. Neither. Can I have neither? Can you stop giving me all the? Can you stop giving me games I beat in 1993? That'd be great.
You got to play them all over again. Come on, you got to do it.
Stop it. Speaking of games that I beat in 1993, this last bit of news is also from Eurogamer. Nintendo wins UK High Court case to block piracy websites. So UK internet providers must block access to websites which enable Switch game piracy. Now, this is weird that it's Switch. Usually, these piracies, we hear about ROMs and emulators for like older games and stuff like that. But this is for Switch specifically. So there must be websites out there that have been pirating Nintendo Switch games. And I remember there was one that I think was just sued over this that charges $30 a year for like a yearly subscription or a yearly membership so that you can download quote unquote ROMs at a faster click than people who don't. So like that gets you into like a whole monetary compensation situation. That's unrelated to this win that they have in the courts. But again, Nintendo and piracy, they go hard. Don't they?
Well, maybe. I can see in this instance, it's like this is their newest technology, their newest console. I wouldn't want to have sites ramping with, here's all the games you can play for free and how to mod your Switch to play them. I understand piracy, but like preserving games from 30 years ago, because I can't go buy a Nintendo game at a GameStop. Well, you could once upon a time, not anymore. But it doesn't hurt the bottom line for Nintendo when I download a ROM from like for the NES. But if I'm downloading a Switch game, there's a potential to harm them. Even though I've been seeing arguments that piracy does not hurt them because those who pirate, they don't want to buy the game anyway. I'm like, bullshit. Go fuck yourselves.
So I put another story in the chat here so you could see it, but this is the one from today. Well, yesterday, September 10th. Nintendo of America has filed a lawsuit on September 10th against the owner of ROM website ROM Universe. The company is seeking damages, listen to this shit, in the amount of $150,000 for each copyright infringement and up to $2 million for each trademark infringement. Nintendo says that the pirated games display, quote, counterfeit copies of Nintendo's trademarks when games are played, as well as infringing on copyright of the works themselves. ROM Universe reportedly offers membership to its site, priced at $30 a year. The membership allows users to download an unlimited number of pirated games, referred to as ROMs, with higher speeds than non-members, Nintendo alleges. The company says in the lawsuit that ROM Universe is, quote, among the most visited and notorious online hubs for pirated Nintendo video games, with nearly 300,000 downloads for the offered Nintendo Switch games and more than 500,000 downloads of Nintendo 3DS games. Can we get the math on that?
It equals to indentured servitude in perpetuity. Like your children's children's children will own Nintendo.
Oh, boy.
I'm pulling up the calculator. Well, so that's $150,000 times 800,000.
This isn't just Nintendo, like AAA games or any like big budget release. This
$120 billion.
Yep.
Oh, Nintendo.
Could you imagine?
$120 billion. And that's just for the $150 for copyright infringement. That's not the $2 million for trademark infringement.
But this also protects indie game devs, too. Because you can mod your system to get indie games on your Switch as well. Not just your Breath of the Wild or your Mario Karts or your Smash Brothers.
Sure.
So, fuck those people.
So, alright. We're going to do the math.
Pay for your
here.
Shit. Where are we?
That's a million. Wait, I needed three more zeros to do this math. Hold on. That is, let's see, that's 1,000, million, billion. That is $1,720 billion.
Yeah, they're in some trouble.
I love how Nintendo goes for the goddamn throat immediately. It's not like they send a warning. They're not like, hey, take these down. There's going to be some problems. No, guys, come on. We don't really... Okay, fine. $1 trillion lawsuit.
Yeah.
This is like you take the Dr. Evil of lawsuits. You owe us $1 zillion.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's great. All right. So, now... That is the Nintendo News Report, and now it is everybody's other favorite segment. So for really every segment we do is everybody's favorite segment on this show. I don't know if you realize that, John, but the show is fantastic, and everybody great. Should be listening to it. It is time to get into the hype zone, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God, am I excited for this hype zone. Andy.
Steven.
Andy, the force has awoken.
It has awoken.
It has.
So apparently there's your home button on your Pro Controller can light up.
Mm-hmm.
This was a thing that has been there all this time, lying dormant.
As the force has awoken,
and it has now come to be.
Yes,
this is the only news that matters. This is the true Switch Lite, as far as I'm concerned.
I see what you did.
I know. I worked on that joke all day.
So I'm going to ask a question to the table here, okay? And I'm mostly interested in John's answer here because he knows the inner workings of the Nintendo Switch at this point. Is it a possibility that they forgot that was a feature that they had on this controller and they just never programmed it to turn on?
Oh God, I didn't even know it did that till you're saying it out. I'm like, oh, okay, interesting.
It's
welcome the home to everyone in the world today.
Welcome,
John.
Welcome to 2019.
So on it's this, like, it's like an Xbox controller where it has that little glow for the center button.
Correct. On the home button.
Yeah, or wherever the home button is. I
look at it. It's blue too.
But could you imagine? This is like a friend request or like an online game request. Why was this not utilized before as like an alert?
Right.
Yeah, that's so weird. You know what, though? With my Pro controller for the Xbox, you can actually dim that. And I do because it helps with battery life just a little bit. Not much, but it does.
I did that on the PS4 controller as well. A little
yeah,
light
well,
bar.
Yeah, the PS4
because that light bar is massive.
It is. That's a different story. This little button obviously wouldn't have really much power.
That's a
at
flashlight.
All. Yeah. No, most battery life I find comes from rumble. But anyways, yeah, that's very cool that the controller can do that. I have no idea how to do that. So our game will not be using that.
I just don't know how why this was dormant for so long. Like, I just don't get it. But this firmware 6.0, man, it's bringing the heavy hits. Did we talk about that last week? I don't think we did, Andy.
Oh, the 9.0 firmware?
Yeah. Well, all right. So you can make alarms now. You could have alarms set on the thing. What else? What else can we do?
Firmware was updated as well.
Yeah,
which is this, sort of... which with this light feature comes from.
Oh, the other one was you can see in game. You can now view your invites to play games from your friend list. That was one. That was like the biggest update from 9.0.
Yeah.
Kind of cool that they released version 9 on 9.9.19. Just saying. All right. It's time for the final segment of the show, and that is the Retro Game Club. But before we get into that, let's talk about our sponsor. This week's sponsor is Melted Pins. Melted Pins is a website run by Kelsey Lynn, who is an artist, and she makes incredible, incredible tattoo art-inspired pins, buttons, patches, other sorts of memorabilia, mugs, canvas bags, prints. They're really, really cool. Actually, you know what? I haven't checked it this week. I want to see if she has anything new up there. So while I'm opening that. But if you go to meltedpins.com, that's meltedpins.com, and use the checkout code NDSMelted, you can get 10% off your order. That's it. That's all you have to do and get 10% off the order. So yes, we have some new things. We have a weeping zip-up wet sweatshirt with a cool lady on the thing there. Wicked engraved necklace. And again, my favorite one was the Summoning Fall shirt and coffee mug, which is the pentagram in the pumpkin pie, which is fantastic. As you can see, John, on my microphone, I have the Naptime pin, which I love, and it stays on my microphone for all to see when I do any video on here. So yes, folks, if you go to meltedpins.com, promo code or checkout code NDSMelted, that's NDSMELTED, and you get 10% off your purchase. You can follow Melted Pins on social media at, guess what? At Melted Pins. See how easy it was? See how easy? You did it. And now, Andy and John, it is time for you to stretch your brains, your brain muscles. It is time to get into the Retro Game Club. Andy, explain the rules.
Well, John, this week we are on the same team, so best luck to both of us.
Okay.
Now, in this game, we will pick a retro game from the GameCube and back. So I have to be on the GameCube. We have Steve will give us 10 clues to guess the game, and we have 3 guesses. If we don't get in 3 guesses, we lose. Now, we are currently ahead by 10 points, so not too much pressure, but we got to win this one. Now, we can ask a yes or no question, but we will forfeit a guess if we do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right, so clue number one for 10 points. The object of this game is to save your girlfriend.
That's like every game in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, boy.
And the thing is, I didn't even play a GameCube, so... You know, you see it play that buddy's houses.
Right.
So I'm just going off of pop culture.
Essentially,
you
can go all the way back up until the GameCube. So NES, Super Nintendo, N64, up until the GameCube. So there's a lot of options here because that's why I'm a little bit
annoyed by this
first clue.
Of course, Peach wasn't like Mario's girlfriend or anything. So that takes care of that.
True.
Or was she? I have no idea. I don't know. It's just a princess you run over and then she's happy. So I don't even know. That's how bad I am at this.
Right.
I don't even know that.
That sounds like a solid first clue. You described too many games to mention. Can you go to the next one, please?
Yeah.
This video game has 6 levels. 6 levels where you are trying to rescue your girlfriend.
Hmm. I probably haven't played this game, but it reminds me of things like, those Disney adventure games that didn't have that, you know, you could beat them in like 45 minutes, although it was a nightmare to do so, but, you know, they weren't very big. Six levels, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And how many? We get 3 clues. Yeah.
We get 3 guesses.
You get 3 guesses. You get 10 total clues.
10 total clues. Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank God. Okay.
So this is for 9 points. If you get it here on this one, you guys get 9 points.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Hmm.
I think we need another clue.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go for the next clue.
This game is a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Okay, well that's a big clue. So, I don't know. You definitely try and save your girlfriend in Double Dragon, and that's beat him up. And there's only a few levels.
I know there was more than. There was more than 6 levels in that game that I can remember.
Okay, and then I would say to you, how many iterations of Double Dragon were there?
Oh, also Double Dragon.
And does any of those have only 6 levels? Not that we know. We don't. But you know what I mean? Anyways, that's the one that comes to mind for me. But honestly, there could be like 4 different Double Dragons on various Nintendo things I never even knew about. I don't know. That's just the only one I know. That's a beat-em-up where you save a girlfriend. It's a classic one where you save a girlfriend, actually. So I think we need another clue.
Actually, I think I want to venture a guess.
Yeah, okay.
I want to venture a guess because I'm gonna play on Steven not being prepared for this segment today. And given the theme of the episode and your game in particular, Steven, is this game Kung Fu for NES?
Do you really think I'm that much of a bitch? Really?
Yes or no?
Do you think I'm that much of a bitch? Answer that question. Yes or no?
You are.
You're right. It is Kung Fu. It is Kung Fu.
Oh, interesting. There you go.
It is Kung Fu. Now, it was always going to be Kung Fu. I forgot we were recording today because we were supposed to record tomorrow. So I did not have all my clues ready. But
I love that. Pull it off. Okay, let's look at some clues. That's right. I forgot that you had to rescue your girlfriend there, but isn't at the end you get like kicked in the nuts or something like that?
Your girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
So there. Right. So you beat the first level, and before you get it into the temple, that you find a letter. It says, "Your love Sylvia is in our custody now. If you want to save your dear Sylvia's life, come to the devil's temple at once. Five sons of the devil will entertain you." And you're like, okay. And it was one of 16 launch games on the Nintendo Entertainment System, which is cool. It was released on October 18th, 1985, part of the Action series. There is an asterisk next to the name Kung Fu, and I think that's because it was originally called Kung Fu Master in the arcades, and it was developed by Irem. So yeah, it really has five stages in the temple or something like that, or like the sixth stage is just where you fight Mr. X, which was going to be another dumb clue I was going to give you about X going to give it to you.
Really good at that clue writing. So
yeah,
good.
That's right.
So good.
X going to give it to you, bro. X going to give it to you. So yeah, that's the Retro Game Club. That was you know what? I like the short ones too, Andy. The short ones are fun too.
Me too.
Kung Fu. And what'd you get? You got 7 points. Great. Fucking wonderful. 49 points now. God damn it. I'm down 17 points. This is awful.
I'm going to get you next week.
Ah, just give me a softball. Give me something I've actually played.
I'm going to give you Duck Hunt.
you picked Metal Warriors last week.
Yeah, but you had a really good partner, though.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Other John was
useless.
Great.
Other John knew that shit. Anyway, speaking of John, it's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you tonight. We love having you on the show, and maybe when the game comes out, we could collaborate in some way. Maybe get you for like a written interview or something like that for the website. But we'd love to continue pushing your game because we do believe in it. It is a fantastic title. That's going to do it. So we're just going to do the little cleaning up, the housekeeping real quick. Remember, folks, Nintendo Dual Screens podcast is part of the Proven Gamer podcast network, which includes Trophy Whores, a PlayStation podcast, Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast, and PG Spoilers, which is a pop culture spoiler cast, which is run by listeners and viewers like you. That's right. You could, if you want to spoil something, you want to talk to your friends about something, hit record and then send us the file at Proven Gamer. Send Proven Gamer the file. And that's it. That's all you have to do. And then they'll put it up as PG spoiler. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so. We are at NDS Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. John, where could everybody find you?
At SD Games.
At SD Games. That's you got lucky with that one, huh?
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's a real easy one. If you want to join our Facebook group, you could do so at facebook.com/groups/NDS podcast. And if you want to follow us on Twitch, please do so. We're going to get back to streaming this weekend. It's been a couple of weeks. It's just been a little hectic around the house. I've had a lot of people over. My wife has had people over. It just hasn't been conducive for streaming, but we're going to get back to it. And that's twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. That's twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. And don't forget, please, subscribe to us on YouTube. Go to youtube.com and type in Nintendo Dual Screens. It'll say, did you mean dual with an A? And you're going to be like, no, bitch. I meant dual with an E. Stop correcting me. You ain't my mama. I'll hit you. I'll go to jail. And then subscribe to the channel. Give thumbs up to the videos. Do all that stuff. Special thanks to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Matt Murray of Game Stuff Podcast for our Twitch overlays. Thank you, Dan Colon of Dinosaur Machines and Hit Buttons Gaming and twitch.tv/DanOMac for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. And finally, thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our podcast art, our fun little cartoon versions of us. That's done by Andrew Douglas. That's Andrew Douglas. You can follow him on social media at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. And that's it. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 116 for the week of September 16th. If you want to listen to this episode's pre- and post-show shenanigans, head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast, where you can get the extra hour of content each and every week. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Well, I want to announce next week's guest, but it kind of depends on you and your schedule.
True.
So maybe someone's coming on next week.
Yeah.
It may happen.
We'll
discuss in the post show more than likely. But yeah, there's a backup guest, a voice actress.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was on a very long time. And they're always great fun. And she's an actress who has had parts in Fire Emblem Three Houses and even Pokemon Masters. Look at that.
Look at this.
So
okay, that's
we'll
cool.
see. We have some things in the works, but there'll be someone here. Guaranteed next week.
Excellent. Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, John. And as always, listener, please be excellent to each other. John Fluke of Silver Dollar Games punches our... I didn't even say on this week's show, Andy. Wow, I'm really fucking off today.
Really off to a bad start. John, have a great night. It was great talking to you.
Shut up. Everything's fine.